Hi there. Welcome once again to Generational Leadership. And we are in our fifth session of teachings, and we're actually, I believe, in chapter 6 of the book. And we are on page 15 of your workbook, and it's, I believe, chapter 6 of the book itself. But we're going to talk about the mystery of Christ's kingdom. And again, this is a non-negotiable in my life. And I believe that the whole purpose of the kingdom of God is for this. And so let's begin in this subject. So the mystery of Christ's kingdom. For what reason did Jesus come? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, those who had no idea of a covenant relationship with God, that he would justify those Gentiles by faith. He preached the gospel or the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And so this is the gospel that was preached to Abraham. So for what reason did Jesus come? Jesus came to bring the good news of the kingdom of God. Now I believe that that good news of the kingdom of God has been changed for the good news of where am I going to go when I die. I look at where am I going to go when I die. When I die, I'm going to go wherever I am now, only in a different dimension. So if I'm living an eternal life right now, an intimate relationship with knowing God as my Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and I'm walking in that relationship at least in some measure, then I'm going to transition from that measure into a greater measure of that reality. But if I'm not walking in an intimate relationship with God, you know, I hate to leave one thing and enter the next thing the same way I left. And so I want to have an intimate relationship with God. And my whole purpose in life is that the influence of his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm looking forward to greater days and greater realities of that, greater testimonies of the newness of a new heaven, greater testimonies of the newness of a new earth. But I also live to see my earth made manifestly new in increasing measures and the administration of my life, heaven in my life, increasing. And so we see in Galatians 3, it says that God preached the good news. He preached the gospel, the good news, to Abraham. So what was the good news that God preached? So questions of the kingdom. So here are some questions. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Is the gospel of going to heaven when you die the same as the gospel of the kingdom? Is the gospel of, well, you're saved from hell because Jesus came to make it so that hell has no power over you anymore. Is that the gospel of the kingdom? Another question, where do we find the power of the kingdom? Is the kingdom something that's yet coming? Is it something in the future? What is the kingdom? Is the kingdom something natural, something spirit natural? What is it? How is the kingdom of God implemented? What is the mystery of the kingdom? What is the purpose of the kingdom? What is the message of the kingdom? I love these questions. I must love these questions. I wrote these questions. But these questions, I believe, are questions we have to answer about the kingdom. So what is the gospel of the kingdom of God? So what is the good news of the kingdom of God? We saw in Galatians chapter 3, it says the gospel was preached to Abraham, saying that in you all the families of the earth would be blessed. Okay, so what is the good news that was preached to Abraham? So in Genesis 22, we have a story where Abraham, a former Chaldean named Abram, who has walked a path, a journey of responding to the voice of God in his heart. He's heard the voice of God in his life. He's walked by faith. He's left his homeland. He's left Ur of Chaldee. He's crossed into the land of the promise. And he's walking through what looks like a whole lot of barrenness, a whole lot of nothingness, and he's depending upon a promise from God that he will be the father of many nations. He's gone through a transition. He's made the mistakes in his journey. He's produced an Ishmael, something of the work of the flesh, and that has proved to be a contention and a problem in his own household. And now he has finally produced the promise. God has supernaturally come, transformed his name from Abram to Abraham. Ha! He's put the ha! He's put the sound of God in his name. And so no longer is he the father of a nation, a Chaldean who could father a nation, a Chaldean nation that maybe could be changed in its beliefs by control of the mind in some way. No, he's become something supernatural. Ha! And Abraham, a Hebrew, a race of people that does not exist naturally. It's a supernatural reality. It's a pilgrim, a sojourner, someone who is in this world but looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We can confirm that by reading Hebrews chapter 11 when it gives the record of him. But now Abraham has come to the place where he has the son Isaac, and one day God says to Abraham, I want you to offer your son Isaac to me on Mount Moriah. And so Abraham takes his son Isaac and he climbs the mountain and he's going to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, I believe we got to kind of look at some things in Genesis 22. If you read the chapter, you got to look at some things, put yourself in the role of who was Abraham prior to being Abraham. He was Abram. What culture did he come out of? He came out of a culture called Ur of Chaldee, which means in English burning demons. And so in that land, it was pretty common to offer children to the gods of fire, the god Molech, to sacrifice children to the gods, to appease the gods who were somehow angry with you. And so he in his roots of his DNA, he could believe that God could ask for your son. He could require you of your son because that's what gods do. Now, I know in the story of Genesis 22, God did say, give me your only son. But I believe that God also had in his heart that he would substitute for Abraham's son. Now, Abraham's son was Isaac, and Isaac means laughter. So Abraham finally had true laughter in his life. He finally had a true promise. When you get a true promise from God, that's the true life. That is true laughter. God is not interested in destroying your true promise. He's not interested in destroying your laughter, but he wants to make it so that your heart sees his heart, that your heart doesn't just see it informationally, but that your heart sees it transformationally. And I believe Abraham had to have an experience of God's heart. If we read the writer of Hebrews' account of Abraham, it says that Abraham was God's friend, and God was his friend, and he considered that if he offered Isaac, his friend God would raise him from the dead. So we have to conclude then that when Abraham went up on Mount Moriah with his son Isaac, he was not thinking like a Chaldean. He was thinking like a Hebrew. He was thinking like a sojourner, a pilgrim, someone who is on a journey looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And he considered that if I offer my son, as we've offered our sons in the past, it's not going to be like that because my friend God, he will raise Isaac from the dead. That's what he'll do. So I'm going to offer. I trust my friend. That's what the scripture in its entirety teaches. So Abraham, he goes up and he gets to the top of the mountain and he's ready to offer his son Isaac on the altar. He's got the dagger in his hand. He's bound Isaac on to the wood and he's going to sacrifice and he's got the dagger in the air. And just as he raises the dagger, God says, stop. I've made a substitute. Look in the bush. Look in the bush. And so Abraham looks and there's a ram stuck in the thicket. There's a substitute for Isaac. Now, I believe that every one of us, as individuals or you, pastor or leader, that God has appointed you to lead something that is a promise from God. It's something that's meant to bring life and laughter. It's meant to bring the goodness of God into the earth. And God is not the kind of God that's going to take your laughter. But he wants you to know him. And so he's going to bring you through some tough stuff. He's going to bring you through some things that feel like you have to lay what God has given you on the altar. And God wants you to know he's your friend. He wants you to know that you are his friend. He's your friend. And he wants you to come to that place where you can be a man of faith or a woman of faith, Faith toward the person God is your friend, knowing that if you lay something down on the altar that's part of the promise, that's His promise of bringing life, laughter, the purpose of God through you into the nations, that if you lay it down, He's going to raise it from the dead. Okay? But He wants you to know, as you have the dagger in the hand, He wants you to see that He made a substitute for the sacrifice. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice, the substitute lamb, the substitute ram for that sacrifice of Isaac. And so when Abraham went up on Mount Moriah in Genesis 22, he had come to that point of getting that revelation. I want you to get that revelation today, even as you watch this video or listen to this audio. I'm praying that in your role as a pastor or a leader, as an individual in life, I want you to get a revelation that God is your friend. God is your friend. I've been in seasons where quickly things have happened, and I've been amazed at how quick they happened. And it's easy to say, wow, God, you're really my friend when you see those kind of things. But then I've also walked through a few times where I've taken and lost everything I thought I gained. But there's been a couple of times in that I've not totally succeeded. But there have been greater measures where I've come to losing everything, and it's still a lot of my spirit that flooded my soul. So my spirit, my soul, not just Holy Spirit, but my spirit, my soul, have been able to confess and even inspire my physical actions to demonstrate that I believe that God is my friend. So I'm praying that you will get a revelation that God's your friend. And in this story of Abraham, when he comes up on Mount Moriah and God says, stop. Let's add just a few words to that just for a moment. Imagine God is saying this to the former Chaldean who thinks that God's wants you to sacrifice the next generation. We think that God's wants you to sacrifice your children to them. And God says, stop. I'm not the kind of God that takes your laughter. Stop, I'm not the kind of God that takes your promise. And then he looks and he sees the substitute ram in the thicket. But there was a willingness in the heart of Abraham to trust God as his father, his friend. It was a willingness to trust his friend, and then it was a demonstration of his friend to prove to him, I'm not the kind of God that takes your laughter. And then in Genesis 22, verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I've sworn, said the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son. Verse 17, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations shall be blessed. I like this translation. Some translations say, God said, I'm going to really bless you. I'm going to really multiply you. But in the Hebrew, it's blessing, blessing. So it's more accurate to say, in blessing, I'm going to bless you. And it's also in the Hebrew, it's multiply, multiply. More accurately would be, in multiplying, I will multiply you. When you live to be a blessing, I will cause you to be a blessing. When you live to multiply, not to add to your life, I will cause you to multiply. And then your descendants will possess the gate, a third measure, a third generation will possess an influence that can't be changed today. They'll possess it. And through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And of course, ultimately, that seed was the seed of Christ, Christ Jesus, who now is Jesus Christ the head and Christ the body. It's through that place, that environment of Christ in us, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It's the Spirit of Christ. And so this is the good news that was preached to Abraham. We'll talk about this specifically more in a moment.